Maybe you've heard of synesthesia, a weird feeling where people's senses blur and overlap. Synesthetes, as the people who experience it are known, might associate particular numbers with colours, or feel like days of the week exist in precise locations in space. It's not known exactly why it happens, but it's certainly not new. Ancient Greek philosophers asked if the colour of music could be quantified, and Newton and Goethe both proposed that colour and musical tones shared common frequencies. In 1690, academic and philosopher John Locke wrote about a blind man who experienced the colour scarlet when he heard the sound of a trumpet. Today, though, we're asking if you can hear a taste.
You're listening to Loud Numbers, a data sonification podcast. I'm Duncan Gear, and together with my co-host Miriam Quick, we've put together a collection of stories made from data and sound. Every episode, we'll explore a new story through data by creating a piece of music from it. This week, tasting notes.
We need to introduce someone.
My name is Malin Dervinger. I live in Stockholm, and I am one of currently four Swedes who can title themselves a certified Cicerone. And I'm also a trained beer judge. I'm a beer teacher, so to speak, and also do a bit of consulting for breweries and yeah, things like that.
Malin has a young baby at home, so if you hear a little bit of screaming in the background, then that'll be why.
A Cicerone, if you'd never heard that word before, then don't worry, we hadn't either. It's like a sommelier, a wine taster, but for beer.
It's an American program called Cicerone Certification Program, which is... it's aimed mainly at consumers, but it's a very broad skill that you need to know all areas of beer, like keeping and serving beer, and knowledge of beer styles, beer evaluation, and flavors, also ingredients and process and food pairings and things. So it's a very broad certification. You can put me anywhere in the beer business and I'll be fine.
Malin has worked with beer for most of her career. She conducts tastings, she does lectures and consulting work, she teaches other tasters. Name anything to do with beer and she's probably done it.
Well, the first reaction I get when I tell people what I do is, oh, I had no idea that you could do that. And then I answer, yeah, that's because I'm probably the first one doing what I'm doing. I didn't know there was such a thing either before I did it myself. I'm a very multifaceted person. I'm very interested in history, sociology, culinary history, and things like that. So I wanted to go into an area where I could, you know, explore very different types of academic and also practical knowledge in beer. That's what kept me going, is that beer is such a multifaceted subject, and there's always more aspects to learn with beer, so that's what kept me going.
So why are some beers tastier than others?
When it comes to what makes someone like a beer or not, it's very complex. It could be anything from sex and age to memories, to just personal preference. So the thing that differs, you know, me in my professional role is always using a very methodical way to go about the tasting. But of course, there's also always a very subjective part to it that can't be ignored. We humans are also very affected by, you know, the color of the beer, the setting, our mood, what we've eaten before, whether we are hungry or not, whether we are thirsty or not. You know, there's just so much going on psychologically.
And of course, Malin has a favourite of her own.
The best one singular beer I've ever had was probably a fresh IPA from Russian River Brewing. Pliny the Elder, it's called. It's a very famous double IPA. And I had it, and it just like blew me away, because I had it very fresh from tap. I was in California at the time. So that was the one singular beer that I've had that was best in quality, because it was just so fresh and it's considered one of the best IPAs in the world. So that was a spectacular one-time thing.
When Malin tastes a beer, she experiences a lot more than a regular person does. She tastes carbonation, body, bitterness, sweetness, and acidity. She notes the quality of the foam and the beer's clarity and colour. She measures the competing aromas of malt, hops, and fermentation. Then she turns them into numbers.
So when evaluating a beer, you're going to want to pour it into a fairly small tasting glass, and all the glasses should be the same shape and size, of course, for a consequent tasting. But the first thing you want to do is look at it, because the beer's appearance will tell you a lot about brewing process and style and things like this, and if it's correctly done. So you're going to want to look at the color, and if it's hazy or clear. The foam is also very important, how much foam and what consistency of foam, and the color also as well. When you're used to it, the appearance is really, it just goes by, you do it almost second nature. And of course, the smelling is very important. Should take up more than half the time of the tasting. And when you're sniffing, make sure to capture all those fermentation aromas as well as hop and malt character. And then to the intensity of it. And then, of course, you also have to taste it. And that's where you sense all of the tastes, the sweetness and the bitterness and the sour, whatever it could be on your tongue. As well as, you know, the body, aftertaste, things like that, which are sensory, which you can only experience in your mouth, so to speak. So those are mainly the three main steps, is looking, smelling, and tasting.
For our sonification today, we asked Marlin to look at, smell, and taste 10 different beers and log her findings. Then we turned those tastings into 10 short pieces of music that mirror the sensory experience of cracking open a bottle, pouring it into a glass, and then taking a swig.
Aroma is made of three components: malt, hops, and fermentation. As you bring a glass of beer closer to your nose before taking a sip, its aroma gets stronger. So the aroma sounds fade in over the first 2 seconds, and then out again over 2 seconds.
We represented the malt aroma with a heavily distorted electric guitar chord. That's because, for us at least, we associate the malty smell of beer with bars and guitars and rock music. The amplitude, or the loudness, of the chord represents the maltiness of the beer's aroma. The louder the sound, the more malty the smell. Here's, as an example, a low-ranking malt score, and then a high-ranking one.
Hoppiness is represented by a chord played by a studio horn ensemble. It's bright, spicy, and tart, just like hops. Again, the volume of the hop chord represents the score, so the louder the sound, the hoppier the beer's aroma.
Fermentation is represented by a woozy, pitch-bent chord, created using the Pulse synth in Sonic Pi, the software that we use to create many of the sounds in this sonification. It felt right to represent fermentation with a hazy, uncertain, maybe even unsettling sound effect. Scores are mapped to both amplitude and pitch distortion, so the louder and the wobblier the sound, the more fermented the aroma.
After the aroma, the next thing you experience when you first take a sip of beer is its mouthfeel, its texture. We broke that down into carbonation and body. Carbonation, or fizziness, is represented by a rapid upward sweep, mimicking bubbles on your tongue. The louder the sound, the fizzier the beer.
Body is a jazzy bass pattern. We wanted something that had some weight to it, something chunky, perhaps something even a bit celebratory. It's kind of a celebration every time you drink a beer. We map the body score into two attributes of this sound, its loudness and its distortion. The weightier the beer, the weightier the sound.
You smell food and drink as it's going into your mouth, but you might not know that you often smell it again as you swallow, because the aroma wafts up the back of your throat and into your nose. This is called retronasal smell. We recreated this by playing the aroma sounds again, except this time we used lower pitches from the same chord and added a low-pass filter, so they sound more muffled and muted, like they've been swallowed. Here's the aroma sound, followed by the retronasal aroma sound.
After you've experienced the aroma and the texture of the beer, finally you get to taste it. We divided the beer's taste into four different qualities: sweetness, alcohol, acidity, and bitterness. Sweetness is a smooth, harmonious, mid-range chord swell made in Logic. The louder it is, the sweeter the taste.
Alcohol borrows some qualities from the fermentation aroma. It's a woozy, pitch-bent note made in Sonic Pi. The more pitch distortion, the higher the beer's alcohol content. The sound fades in and out every few seconds, replicating the delightful experience of someone breathing booze into your face.
Acidity is one of my favourites. It's a tangy horn flourish. Acid tastes take a while to kick in, and so does this sound, but then it hits all at once.
Bitterness was one of the most complex tastes to sonify. What does bitterness sound like? We went through a few options, eventually settling on a composite sound that uses two heavily distorted synths. It fades in and out in opposition to the alcohol sound.
Some beers linger longer on the tongue. We got Marlin to tell us whether each beer's aftertaste was short, medium, or long, which were mapped to 5, 15, or 55 seconds respectively. The taste sounds fade out slowly over this period. In the real world, though, aftertastes can last much longer.
A very intense, perhaps a bitter beer can linger on your mouth for several minutes. If a beer has very short aftertaste, you'll be ready to take another sip after just like a second or a few seconds. But some beers really compels you to just sit and wait because there's so much going on still in your mouth. And sometimes the aftertaste can linger in your mouth for up to maybe a minute or maybe even five minutes.
And finally, we took Marlin's 3-point score based on each beer's colour and mapped this to the pitch of all the other sounds for that beer. So lighter looking beers are shifted up a tone and darker looking beers are shifted down a tone, with medium beers, well, in the middle.
Wow, we're done. That's a lot of parameters to remember. This sonification contains a frankly ridiculous 10 different variables mapped to sounds, some of which are double encoded, but taste is complex, so the sonification needs to be complex as a result. You can always rewind and listen to the explanations again if you need to. It's time to hear the final track, accompanied by Marlin telling us a little bit about each beer in turn. Grab a cold one from the fridge, sit back, and enjoy. This is Tasting Notes.
The Czech Pilsner. Just thinking of it makes me happy. This is one of the most perfected beer styles, both in brewing and serving. I usually think of it as, you know, just liquid gold. Liquid gold. It's delicious and it's just perfectly balanced. So, Röse. So, Röse is one of the most complex and spectacular beers. I think most people never forget the first time they tried the Röse. And today it's one of my favorite styles overall. And what I particularly appreciate is just the balance between acidity and bitterness, as well as just like all the complex aromas from the wild yeast and bacteria. Sort of the champagne of beers. So Irish stout is one of the most misunderstood beer styles to me. It's not supposed to be heavy or filling. It's actually one of the lightest beer styles there is. Low alcohol, very light body, low carbonation, and it's very smooth. But, you know, people see this dark color and they instantly think, oh, so it's going to be rich and very flavorful. And that, of course, affects the actual taste. Beer in general is the fastest growing category of beer in the world, in many parts of the world at least. The range and quality of alcohol-free lagers has greatly developed in the recent years, which I discovered during my pregnancy. Alcohol-free lagers are actually a very thankful category to work with because you can still get a lot of malt flavor. And I think it's really important for customers to feel like they can have a real beer, but without the alcohol. So fruit sours, it's only the brewer's imagination, I think, that sets the limit for which fruits and berries can be used. I remember being the head judge of a big beer contest and just trying 40 different fruit sours. And the best ones to me were the ones where the fruit really came through in an honest and like natural way. The winner was one with the Swedish blackcurrants, and it tasted just like fresh blackcurrants. It was like eating from the bush. So, wit beer. It's like bright yellow and hazy, almost like it's glowing. It's not quite what most people expect from a beer. Being flavored with coriander seed and citrus zest, it's more of like a fresh and slightly spicy aroma, unlike any other. And it's also very low in bitterness, making it really easy on the palate while being delicious. But it's also, it's not very light. It's got quite high carbonation and full body. Yeah, it's got some character to it. Alright, so the Belgian Dark Strong Ale, that's a beer that really makes me want to just curl up in front of a fireplace with some cheese. This is really good beer with cheese. It's sort of a dark and complex beer. It's got very like warming alcohol, and it's got some sweetness and the sweet malty sort of almost nutty chocolatey flavors, but without feeling too sweet or candy-like. So it's just very comforting and cozy beer, especially during the colder months. ¶¶ Ah, the best bitter holds a very special place in my heart. Being in a British pub and having a proper pint of bitter is one of the most pleasurable experiences a human being can have. And of course, the beverage itself is very exquisite. To me, it's the perfect balance of just caramelly malt, but also refreshing bitterness and just like some fruity tones from the fermentation. It's sort of earthy to me. So, Gose, or Ghost, is the only beer style which has salt in it. Ghost is an acidic beer with salt. So, salt, it makes all other tastes sort of more balanced. This balancing of the salt just makes the acidity very smooth. And it's one of the most refreshing beers to me. I was visiting my dad once on a very hot summer day, and I was outdoors, and then he just came out to me and just handed over a glass of beer, not telling me what it was. And without seeing the label or knowing what beer it was, I was surprised with how refreshing a Rauch beer could be on a summer day. I would never have thought that. It's a very versatile beer, despite being so particular in the smoke aroma.
This sonification was created by Miriam Quick and Duncan Gear, with loads of help from Marlon Derwinger. To make it, we use Google Sheets to wrangle the data, Sonic Pi and Logic Pro X to turn it into music, and Logic Pro X to turn that music into a track.
You can find all of the numbers we used to create the track in the show notes, and a final version without our commentary on all good streaming services. Search for Loud Numbers.
If people want to find out more about me or just this Cicerone thing in general, you can go to my website, www.swedishcicerone.com. I also have an Instagram where I post sort of like educational stuff mostly. My Instagram is called Swedish Cicerone.
Thanks to Marlon Derwinger for the data, Tom Allen and Sylvia Huttner for valuable feedback, QuickRear for mastering, and the Sonic Pi community for building a fantastic sonification tool. Cheers!
On the next episode, we ask, what does money sound like?